Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 11, King Indra Annihilates the Demons. We're starting with text 6. Soham Dvamayinas Tedya Vajrena Shataparvana Shiro Harishye Mandatma Gatasva Gyatibhi Saha Soham Dvamayinas Tedya Vajrena Shataparvana Shiro Harishye Mandatma Gatasva Gyatibhi Saha Soham Dvamayinas Tedyo Vajrena Shataparvana Shiro Harishye Mandatma Gatasva Gyatibhi Saha Soham Dvamayinas Tedyo Vajrena Shataparvana Shiro Harishye Mandatma Gatasva Gatabhi Saha. Soham Dvamayina Stadia Yena Shataparvana Yoharishe Mandatma Yasa Pratibhisa Soham Dvamayina Stadia Vajrena Shataparvana Your shame on the ground. Got to saw, got to be saha. Under my nose, Tavia. Padrena, Shataparvana. Your shame on the ground. That's why I got to be saha. Vaishnavis, Soham Dvamayina Stadia, Vajrena Shataparvana, Shiro Harishye Mandatma, Asaratabhi Saha. Ama Marayana Sidya Vajrena Shataparvana Shiro Harishye Mandatma Saritabhi Saha Om Dvamayina Sidya Vajrena Shataparvana Saha, I am the same powerful person. Aham, I. Dharmayinaha, of you who can perform so much jugglery with illusions. Te, of you. Adya, today. Vajrena, by the thunderbolt. Shataparvana, which has hundreds of sharp edges. Shiraha, the head. Harishye, I shall separate. Manda Atma, O you with a poor fund of knowledge. Gatasva, just try to exist on this battlefield. Gyatibihi Saha, with your relatives and assistants. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Today, with my thunderbolt, which has hundreds of sharp edges, I, the same powerful person, shall sever your head from your body. Although you can produce so much jugglery through illusion, you are endowed with a poor fund of knowledge. Now, try to exist on this battlefield with your relatives and friends. It's no purport, so we'll go to the next text. I'll just read it myself. Sri Balir Vacha Sangrame Vartamananam Kala Chodita Karmanam Kirtir Jaya Jaya Mrityu Sarvesham Syur Anukramat. In the translation, Bali Maharaj replied, all those present on this battlefield are certainly under the influence of eternal time, and according to their prescribed activities, they are destined to receive fame, victory, defeat, and death, one after another. Purport. If one is victorious on the battlefield, he becomes famous. And if one is not victorious but is defeated, he may die. Both victory and defeat are possible, whether on such a battlefield as this or on the battlefield of the struggle for existence. Everything takes place according to the laws of nature. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. Since everyone, without exception, is subject to the modes of material nature, whether one is victorious or defeated, he is not independent, but is under the control of material nature. Bali Maharaj, therefore, was very sensible. He knew that the fighting was arranged by eternal time, and that under time's influence, one must accept the results of one's own activities. Therefore, even though Indra threatened that he would now kill Bali Maharaj by releasing the thunderbolt, Bali Maharaj was not at all afraid. This is the spirit of a Kshatriya, Yude Chapya Apalayanam. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 43. A Kshatriya must be tolerant in all circumstances, especially on the battlefield. Thus, Bali Maharaj asserted that he was not at all afraid of death, although he was threatened by such a great personality as the King of Heaven. Om Gyanati Marandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudev Gaur Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, in this verse, we see the words Kala Chodita, which Srila Prabhupada says means influenced by the course of time. And, you know, that is the main point being made. So we see this same phrase, Kala Chodita, used in other parts of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, for example, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni is describing his life in a previous day of Brahma. You know, before he became, you know, the Narada Muni that we know in this kalpa or day of Brahma. You know, Vedic time is cyclical, and the basic unit of the Vedic cyclical time is the kalpa or the day of Brahma. And the day of Brahma is followed by a night of Brahma, and then there's another day of Brahma. You know, a day of Brahma lasts for 4,320,000,000 years. The night of Brahma lasts for the same period of time. Right now, we're in the middle of the current day of Brahma, about in the middle. So that means it began about 2 billion years ago. Then before that was a night of Brahma, which lasted 4.32 billion years, and then before that was another day of Brahma. So Narada Muni could remember events that took place in the previous day of Brahma, and he was describing his life to his disciple Srila Vyasadeva, who wanted to know what was your previous existence like. So he was describing he was the son of a maidservant, and he had the good fortune to serve some Vaishnavas who came to the house where his mother was a maidservant. And he got the blessings of these Vaishnavas. And as a result of that, he later became Narada Muni. But he describes after the Vaishnavas left his house, his mother, the maidservant, was outside somewhere, and she got bit on the leg by a serpent and died. And in the Sanskrit of that verse, it says that this snake bite happened, Kala Chodita, under the influence of time. So by the influence of time, so many things are happening in our lives. This word Kala Chodita is also used in connection with Balaram's killing Rukmi, who was the brother of Rukmini, who became the wife of Krishna. Of course, it's a big story in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, how Princess Rukmini was due to be married to Shishupal. He's pretty much a rascal. And she didn't like that, so she sent a message to Krishna, please kidnap me and be my husband. So Krishna agreed to do that. He kidnapped Rukmini. Of course, her brother, Rukmi, had wanted her to marry Shishupal. So Shishupal fought Krishna, but Krishna defeated him and the other kings who were on his side, kidnapped Rukmini, married her. But then they had children, and they had a son named Aniruddha. So he was married to Rukmi's granddaughter. So during the marriage, all the family members came, including Lord Balaram. So Rukmi was still maintaining his inimical attitude, and his friends, the other kind of rascal sort of kings, said, "Why don't you play a game of dice with Balaram? He likes to play, but he's not so good at it. You'll be able to take advantage of him." So Rukmi challenged Balaram to play dice, and they first wagered 100 gold coins, and Rukmi won. Then they wagered 1,000 gold coins, Rukmi won again. And then they wagered 10,000 gold coins, Rukmi won again. So then Balaram said, "Okay, let's go for 100,000 gold coins." And Rukmi accepted. And Balaram won. So Rukmi wasn't going to accept it. So he kind of looked at his friends in the royal order and said, "No, you didn't win. You cheated." And all his friends, yeah, that's right. He cheated. We all saw him. So then Balaram would say, "Okay, now 100 million gold coins." So they played again. And again, Balaram won. But Rukmi just wouldn't accept it. He would not accept it. So he and his friends got to say, no, you cheated. And you didn't win. We all saw you. And actually, Rukmi won. And then there was a voice from the sky that came. "Balaram has won the game fairly. Rukmi has cheated." And he still wouldn't accept it, even though the voice came from the sky. And then it says, "Kalachodita." By the influence of time, he insulted Balaram because, actually, there's a plan. And by the influence of time, which is Krishna, ultimately, it was meant for Rukmi to be killed. So Balaram whipped out his club, smashed him, and killed him with one blow. Of course, after he'd been insulted, the way that Rukmi insulted him, he says, "Look, you're just a cowherd boy, a Vaishya. Gambling is meant only for Kshatriyas." So at that point, Balaram just took out his club, smashed him. So all this is under the influence of the time factor. And in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, "Kalosmi lokachaya krit." Time I am, destroyer of the worlds. So Krishna himself is actually this time factor. And In several places in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila, an incarnation of Krishna, mentions this time factor, how by the time factor, one living being destroys another, and one living being creates another, as we observe in this world. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna puts the emphasis on destruction. Kalosmi, Loka, Chaya, Krit. Time I am, destroyer of the worlds. And, you know, it's an interesting question that comes up in science. It's called the arrow of time question. It's actually a big mystery to, you know, scientists. Why time appears to flow in one direction, and as it flows, things become more and more disordered. In science, they have a concept called entropy, which means disorder. It's a measure of disorder. And it's just like a law of nature that as time passes, things become more and more disordered in the natural course of things. And why exactly that is, they don't really quite understand. It's a big mystery to them. But Krishna explains, Kalosmi Lokachaya Krit, time I am, destroyer of everything. So you destroy something, that means it becomes less ordered. Of course, because time is under the control of Krishna, he can also create things, which again is a big mystery, why there's so much order and complexity in the universe, in addition to the destruction that's constantly going on. That's because ultimately Krishna is in control of the time factor. And the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, Satyam apratishtam te jagat ahur anishvaram. Now there's a certain class of philosopher who doesn't understand that there's God in control of the universe. He under his influence, as time passes, by the influence of time, things are created, they're maintained, and they're destroyed, all according to his plan. That verse I quoted a moment ago, Kalosmi Lokachaya Krit, comes from the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is about the universal form. And in the next verse, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains, there's actually a plan, you know, behind the actions of time. You know, that's actually being stressed in today's verse also, that victory and defeat and all these things, these are manifested according to time. So in that next verse, in the 11th chapter, the one after Kalosmi Lokachaya Krit, Krishna advises Arjuna to become his instrument. Nimitta matram bhavasalvyasa chin. Says, O Arjuna, O great archer, just become an instrument. In other words, harmonize yourself with the flow of events that Krishna wants to take place and is organizing. Simply become an instrument of Krishna. So if we become an instrument of Krishna, we become beyond the destructive influence of material time. Otherwise, every material thing is under the destructive influence of the time factor. In the third Actually, it's the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There is one verse that says, Kala Guna Karma Adina Deha. The material body is under the influence of Kala, Guna, and Karma. So, and we can observe ourselves how we're under the influence of the time factor. Time is always passing. You know, we're here, it's now time for Bhagavatam class, then it'll be over, it'll be time for prasadam, it'll be time to do our service in the evening, it'll be time to sleep, there'll be another day, and then another day, and another day, and during those days, certain things will happen. And if we observe long enough, we'll see how the body changes gradually under the influence of time. Sometimes we're healthy, sometimes we're diseased. So there's kala that's pushing us along. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described that this kala is like the wind that's pushing the clouds across the sky. And the cloud may not understand it, but it's being pushed across the sky. So we are under the influence of time, and also in the material world we're under the influence of karma, you know, the past activities that we performed and for which we're getting reactions. And then there's guna, we're forced to act by the modes of nature, as being described here, and Srila Prabhupada mentions a verse in today's purport from the Bhagavad Gita, Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Kramani Sarvashaha Ahankarava Mudatma Kartahami Dimanyate. Everything is happening by the modes of material nature that can't be resisted. Daivi Esha Gunamayi Mamamaya Duratyaya. We're being pushed by the modes of passion, ignorance, even goodness. So we're being pushed by all of these things, by the force of time, kala, by karma. We're getting the pious and impious results of past activities, and we're being influenced by the modes of nature. Now, if we take to the path of devotional service, we become, to some extent, freed from the influences of kala, guna, and karma. Of course, we still have to do things according to time. Even in the spiritual world, there's a kind of time that goes on because there are lila, there are pastimes, which means things happen according to some sequence. But what's missing is the destructive influence of time that destroys things, causes things to become old, sick, die. That destructive aspect of time is absent in the spiritual world, and even in the process of devotional service. Mamcha yo vyabhicharina bhakti gaina sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. If one seriously practices devotional service, then one becomes freed from the influence of the modes of material nature. But, you know, not completely. I mean, we still have to undergo some residual effects. Like, we have a body, it's going to last a certain amount of time. So in the nectar of devotion, it's explained that for one who's advancing in Krishna consciousness, coming to the platform of bhava, which is the preliminary stage of prema, one of the symptoms of such a person is it doesn't waste any time. Every moment of time is engaged in Krishna's service. But still, yeah, we have a body and it will eventually come to an end. First, dehinosmin yata dehe. Within the body is the eternal soul, and that's our real identity. That is our swarupa. We have an eternal spiritual form. As far as karma is concerned, Srila Prabhupada says many times that at the time of initiation, Krishna, through the agency of the spiritual master, removes all the effects of previous karma. But still, Krishna will give us, in order to instruct us, some results from previous karma. But the example that Srila Prabhupada gives is like a fan, an electric fan. If the fan is plugged in, then the blades are going around very powerfully. But if you unplug the fan, then still the blades will go around for a while, but then they'll gradually stop. So in the same way, although at the time of initiation we become freed from the results of previous karma, we're no longer under the full effects of our past karma, still there'll be some residual effects, like the fan blade slowing down, even though the power has been removed. And as far as guna goes, the modes of nature, we'll still feel some influence from them. You know, an example that Srila Prabhupada gave is like a boat on the water. If you're in the water itself, you're fully under the influence of the waves. But if you're on a boat, you still may feel, you know, something. You know, I've been on boats in big storms, you know, on ocean liners and passenger ships, and you can feel the waves, but it's not like being thrown into the ocean. So the time factor is there, and Kala Chodita, by the influence of the time factor, which is Krishna himself, different things will happen to us. Yeah, even in devotional service. Yes, Srila Prabhupada is saying here, both victory and defeat are possible, whether on such a battlefield as this or on the battlefield of the struggle for existence. So, you know, even in the lives of great devotees, we can see apparent setbacks that are there, but the devotees, they persist. They know what their duty is. And just like Krishna advised Arjuna, he says, don't think about victory or defeat or profit or loss. Just do your duty without attachment to the results. So, you know, we should find out what our duty in Krishna consciousness is, and proceed to carry out that duty. And leaving the results up to Krishna, ultimately. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. A nice class. We hear that Bali Maharaj is a devotee. He's referred to as a devotee. As a matter of fact, he's one of the 12 Mahajans.
That's correct.
So is he considered a devotee at this point? In other words, here right now, he's fighting against the demigods. I mean, obviously he's a devotee when he surrenders to Vamanadeva and, you know, that whole pastime. Is that when he becomes a devotee, or are we to understand that he's a devotee even at this point? No, I guess the bigger question I'm asking, what is like the distinguishing characteristic of a devotee? And is how would he, if he is a devotee now, how so?
I mean, the ideal thing would be a statement from Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu directly addressing your question. Just on the basis of, I don't have anything that would directly address that specific question. But just using logic, it's stated several times that by Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas that one can become a devotee despite being born in a family of demons. Now, of course, we have to also keep in mind the difference between the soul and the body. I mean, Krishna says, Mamaivam so jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana, all the individual souls, they're part of me. Jivara srupahoi, Krishnaranit yadas, Lord Chaitanya says, the constitutional position of every living entity is eternal servant of Krishna. Krishna bhuli se jiva, you know, but the jiva can forget Krishna. So that understanding's also there, but from the bodily external point of view, it would appear at this moment he's in the family of, yeah, in the line of the asuras or demons, and is acting on that basis. Although we do see that many times these asuras or demons who were part of Vedic culture knew quite a bit, just like he's displaying some knowledge here that is part of our devotional understanding as well, that everything's happening under the influence of time and I'm just going to fight and it may be that I'm defeated or whatever, but that's up to the time factor. Archita Peru, you have something to... contribute?
Just based on the logic of his question, Krishna fought against Indra, so is Krishna not a devotee? It's not that fighting against Indra makes you not a devotee. Sometimes devotees fight each other. We know in the before the Rajasuya sacrifice, when Yudhishthira sent out his challenged horses, Bhimasena came to Bengal. This is recorded by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he met one King Samudrasena, who was a great devotee of Krishna. But instead of submitting to Bhimasena, he fought him. And he was actually beating him. He was about to kill him. But Krishna had to intervene. He actually appeared before him. And Samudrasena bowed down to Krishna, and therefore Bhimasena took advantage of the moment and conquered him. So just because somebody's fighting against somebody that you think is a devotee doesn't mean they're not a devotee. Again, Krishna fought against Indra, so is Krishna not a devotee? Yeah, but this is also the devotees perform their duties under the system of Varnanashram. So if you're a Kshatriya, like in this case of Samudrasena, his business was that he was ruling a particular tract of land. And he didn't want to submit to some outside king. Doesn't matter if the outside king is also a devotee. So what? This is my tract of land. I don't want to submit to you. He's a Kshatriya. He's allowed to do that. That's what Kshatriyas do. Just like Krishna said to the Kauravas. They're Kshatriyas. Give them at least some villages to rule over. They have to. That's their dharma. So again, just because you oppose another person that is a devotee doesn't mean that you're not a devotee. Even in battle.
There's... There's one verse, Dva Bhuta Loke Sargosmin Daivasura Eva Cha. And I think the last part of that verse that I forget now is that, you know, Krishna's saying there are two types of living beings in the world, suras and asuras, demons and devotees. And the difference is the devotees are the suras. They are devotees of Vishnu. In other words, they're operating under, you know, they regard Vishnu as the highest and are acting in his service under his direction. And the asuras are the opposite. So, that could be one distinction, that they are with Krishna's will. Consciously understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am his servant. Let me act according to his direction and his interest. Although there are probably some times when, you know, some few cases where it's not easy to understand. But in general, that seems to be the distinction. Anybody else have anything on this point? Sachin Anoy.
Thank you, Prabhu. I was just reading the next verse. And in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada quotes, Krishna advises that one, in Bhagavad Gita 2:14, Krishna advises that one be tolerant towards the teachers of Bharata. Following this advice of Krishna, one should not be morose or unhappy because of circumstantial changes. This is the symptom of a devotee. A devotee carries out his duty in Krishna consciousness and is never unhappy in all circumstances. He has full faith that in such circumstances Krishna protects his devotee. But now my question is, in the previous verse, the one that you read, Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, a kshatriya must be tolerant in all circumstances, especially on the battlefield. So I was, when I came to that statement, I thought, wait a minute, he's a kshatriya. Kshatriyas fight and justice and righteousness. And it looks like this tolerance is a quality of a brahmana.
Also, the kshatriya, they have to tolerate a lot of things.
Because otherwise, why there is war? He should have tolerated from the beginning. It's like, why to fight?
Well, I think in general, we observe that even materialists and demons, they sometimes show great determination, and I mean we see them working hard day and night for their goals, you know, even though they're, you know, so you know there's something we can learn from that, but it's not that they're devotees, even though they may be very determined. And like Kamsa was very determined to kill Krishna. He was always thinking about Krishna. But because it was in connection with Krishna, he got some result. But if it's in connection with, if the determination and everything is in connection with Krishna somehow, there may be some good result. But if it's just for selfish purposes, one is very determined and tolerant to pursue one's own selfish materialistic interest, it doesn't seem to me that that's devotional.
Prabhu, if you allow me to, I can just mention that one time Prabhupada with the sannyasi at the time, I think Pushtakrishna, were traveling in an airplane, and there were many young men in the back of the plane doing so many yelling, screaming, and he called the hostess to please go and tell them to shut up. I guess she did it, but they still did it. So at one point he stand up and he wanted to like do it on his own, and Prabhupada told him, sit down. In other words, be tolerant. He used the word be tolerant, like saying, are we going to be like them? So in certain times it appears that that tolerance can be used in different ways. I don't know if that fits with it.
Thank you. And then we'll stop.
Thank you, Dridhokama, for many of your nice explanations. I just want to make one little point, and that is that many of the Yadu soldiers, by the arrangement of Krishna, were not fighting on the side of the Pandavas. They were fighting on the side of the Kauravas, who are considered the demoniac side, or the bad guys. So it didn't mean that because the Yadus were fighting against the Pandavas that they became demons. Not at all. They were simply doing the order or fulfilling the order of Krishna. There was that arrangement that had been made when Arjuna and Duryodhana had approached Krishna, and each wanted Krishna to be fighting on his side, and Krishna said, I'm not going to fight on any side, but I'll give my army to one, and I'll just give myself as an advisor to the other. So Arjuna chose to have Krishna as to be with him as his advisor. They hadn't even decided about charioteer at that point. And Duryodhana, of course, was very happy because Krishna then gave the army, not the whole army, but a good section of the army, to the Kuru dynasty, the Kurus, Duryodhana's side. So therefore, what we have is Yadus, who are considered pure devotees. Prabhupada refers to them like that over and over again. Nonetheless, they fought on the side of the demons, but that didn't make them demons. It simply meant they were better devotees because they were doing the order of Krishna, which is what really devotees are.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Śrīmad Bhāgavatam ki jai.